to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris and Gogs Mackay, we're talking now about doing real UFO research, about ways to actually take photos or movies of UFOs. But once again, this is the once-in-a-lifetime occurrence. And even if you armed yourself with the Super 8 camcorder, for example, and you have real film, and we're talking about something that's technology is, what, 30 years old? You get the film.
Older than that.
Yeah, you get the film. You get the camcorder. You're all set with it. But the real question is, how often is that going to happen? Are you going to be lucky enough to take that shot and to be there when it happens? If you're an investigator, it's part of your arsenal. But most photos are not made by professional investigators.
Yeah, I suppose we're talking about the difference between, you know, just a member of the public, chance encounter, pulls out whatever camera's available. But then you've got people who, you know, stay up all night and go on sky watches with the intention of hopefully capturing something. And I suppose it's probably these people that I would hope would maybe think about analog film in their arsenal, yeah, as you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And you have people like Ed Grimley who goes out with night vision equipment and gets some pretty intriguing images with night vision. It's more difficult to hoax night vision footage than it is to, you know, hoax just regular, let's say, video cam footage. And that's another thing, too, that that I'd like to see more of is you know, from infrared up to second generation, third generation night vision, that kind of footage is it could be very valuable and could be very very worthwhile to get and analyze. So yeah. I don't see much night vision. In fact, I don't think I've seen any night vision clips on Blake's site.
No, have you tried it yourself, Chris? And also, I'm sure you've seen the same videos I have. There's a couple of interesting videos, a bit like the Mexican Air Force one, where you actually have someone who set up two cameras, a standard one and an infrared one. And sometimes an object appears only in infrared. And I don't know if that is a real video or not, or a hoax, but I found that idea interesting. And then obviously your night vision is image intensifying, but those cameras are, I was looking at them online, you know, for the whatever Mark 3 or 4 or whatever they're called, you're talking several thousand dollars. But I would love to go on a night sky watch with Ed Grimsley. Just George Newry tried it, and apparently he managed to see something interesting on that first time.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly, of course.
Yeah, it's like the people who do the reality shows. They go out to hunt ghosts and almost invariably come back with something.
Yeah, well, reality shows, that's just another matter altogether, is that they've got to get something for each episode, and they make the biggest thing out of the smallest little noise. If you're going to go in an old building, you know, at night when the temperature's cooling down, it's going to make noises. There's going to be animals, maybe rats scurrying about and stuff. And sure, if you're down in some sort of cellar that's got a reputation as being haunted or something, you probably are going to get genuinely scared. But whether that means anything was actually going on, you know, you just know that 99.9% of the time on every single one of these ghost hunter shows, we have our own ones here in the UK, just like, you know, separate from the American ones. And I've watched them just because I'm interested in the paranormal, not because I think they're good shows. And I've seen plenty good, you know, James Fox reactions of people genuinely being scared, but not because I don't think it was because they actually encountered everything. When it comes to that kind of evidence, I think one of the kind of creepiest things I've ever seen was Barry Taff in the Entity case, where there's a cameraman goes up in the you know, up in the loft. Well, he claims that basically something wrapped something round his neck and kind of hung him up on a nail. And you see the guy coming out. If that's acting, it's Oscar stuff. But that's the only time I've ever really seen something on video, as it were, that kind of looks like something really was going on there. All these reality shows, I've never seen anything even remotely compelling but they've got so many episodes just filled with the same dross week to week rant over.
It's enough to put you to sleep. I don't watch reality shows. And the reason I don't watch is because of the fact that they're staging it. It doesn't mean there's no real things going on there. There aren't paranormal events. But you just know that the chances of actually seeing something predictably is about, what, 1/10 of 1/1000 of 1%? So how come the crew each week see something?
Yeah.
Well, it depends, too, on the site. Some sites, I think the odds improved dramatically. I got some footage in the basement of the Sally House that has yet to be broadcast or made available. It was the real thing. I could vouch for it. And I had my back to what I was filming, people reacting to something that was behind me. And it took every ounce of my of my professionalism and concentration not to whip around and start filming what they were looking at. Just getting their reaction shots of this, whatever it was, it was coming up, this energy form that I could feel behind me that was coming up. And filming close-ups of their reaction to it. There's no way that the three of them could have, again, like Gok said, it would be Oscar-winning performances if they were acting. And I felt it, too. And if the psychic who I was filming hadn't said, "We need to leave right now," if she hadn't said it at that second, I would have bolted out of there. So I can't wait to get this finally produced and out there for people to check out.
Was that around the same time when you said that there was one time you had a high-quality camera and there was an image in the mirror of the corridor or something behind you?
No,
and
that
the
was last year. That was the only ghost I've ever seen, or whatever it was. It was, I guess, technically it was more of a shadow person. No, that was a 3D, a $22,000 3D camera. If that had initialized the actual footage, that probably would have been the very first 3D footage of a ghost.
So I just put on my glasses, turn on the 3D set, and I'd see something.
Well, whatever it was, it leaned out and checked me out from behind, and the only reason why I knew it was there was because I was looking in a big, huge mirror at the end of the hallway at myself walking towards the mirror, and I saw it lean out behind me. And I was so excited. You have no idea. I was jumping up and down.
And you just made me think of something else. The only kind of paranormal experience I know I've had, it seems paranormal to me. I was about 12, 13 or something, literally 150 yards around the corner in an adjacent street to the one I lived. But basically myself and a friend, so, you know, I've got the corroboration of another guy there, and we saw, I'll call it now, a full body apparition, but what we thought was, it was at night, it was dark, but next to streetlights and stuff, we saw an old woman, and we were so convinced that she was, like, out of place, and that where she was, we knew everyone who lived around, and if there had been an old woman there at that time of night, she must have been lost or something. So she was only, like, 20 yards away or so. And we kept her in view the whole time, and we were doing the kind of, you know, good-spirited thing. We were going to go round, approach her, and ask her why she was there, because she was actually on the property of a friend, and I knew she wasn't a relation or anything. Anyway, and this little lane just went into a complete dead end, no escape. And this woman that we saw walked towards that, and as we rounded the little wall, was only like 4.5 feet high or something, and went round, she was nowhere to be seen. It wasn't until we couldn't find her that we even thought there was anything up. At no point did we think when we were seeing her that this could be an apparition or anything, but, you know, there's no trapdoors there. There is a wall at the end, but it's very high, and the figure of the person we saw, unless she was a very fit gymnast old woman, there's no chance she could escape. And we're talking about she was only out of view for a second and a half. So there was no being scared or anything. It was only afterwards we're thinking, what just happened? And, at that age, 12, 13, we didn't have the knowledge or of anything to really even think about it in any depth. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't think about that for a long time, but the two of us saw it. That is one thing that really made me, believe that these things may happen. I don't know if it's
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris and Goggs Mackay, Goggs is telling us a bit about his background in paranormal investigations, how he became involved, how he became interested in the subject. So you were talking about a magazine?
Yeah, there was this weekly magazine, okay, as I said, a short run, and it was called The Unexplained. So, you know, it would cover things like, you know, life after death, UFOs, the usual stuff. I would be very surprised if Nick Redfern hadn't gotten into this as well, judging by his age and stuff. But on this one, it once had a free, you know, like old vinyl records, and, you know, I'm old enough to have bought vinyl. I'm sure younger listeners may not have. But anyway, sometimes you used to get free singles, a pop track or so with some magazine, but the vinyl would just be this very, very thin, floppy record that didn't even always perform very well on a round table. But anyway, this one, free issue, it had what it was calling Sounds from Beyond the Grave. I'm not entirely sure of how they were supposed to have recorded it or anything, but whatever was on that was really creepy, even at a young age. And I remember just at that, around that age, when this magazine was coming out, I implored my parents to give me money to buy this, and I bought all of them, and I was just, like another issue was about spontaneous human combustion. It's got that classic photo of some old woman's chair, and there's just ashes and everything, and a leg which is pretty much intact up to a point. So around the time of that sighting, I think I was starting to get an interest into the paranormal in general, but I think it was a bit later that I kind of took more an interest in UFOs. And me personally, I know why I am interested in UFOs, and it's nothing to do about Space Brothers or whatever. For me, if UFOs are real, they are proof positive that maybe one day us humans will be able to travel the galaxy, you know, a la Star Trek, and travel at fantastic speeds, and who knows, maybe even have things like transporters. But for me, it's about proving that one day our technology might be as cool as what they are displaying, if indeed they are there. That's why I'm into UFOs.
It's about what's out there and maybe finding the answer to the age-old question, are we alone in the universe? That paraphrases the quote from the movie trailer for Man of Steel, the new Superman reboot, and a large part this story is about first contact. It's about an alien coming here and having to cope with our world. He's an orphaned alien who is humanoid but is not human. But that is the big thing about that story that makes it out of the comic book range. How do we deal with evidence of real contact? And now, of course, we have all the stuff that's going on where we're hearing more and more about Earth-like planets. Does that, for example, provide some kind of gradual disclosure? You never know. Now, let me get back a bit to taking good photos of UFOs or movies. Chris, since we've already broached the subject about training manuals and stuff, would you give a few hints to people if you see something really strange in the sky, daytime or nighttime, and you got the camcorder, whether it's a smartphone or something else, what do you do? How do you capture that image so it survives a Blake Cousins YouTube site?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is trying to get into a position where you can be as steady and sure-handed as possible, either putting your elbows down on the hood of a car and creating a as close to a tripod configuration as possible. Obviously, the best of all scenarios is to actually have a tripod handy. And oftentimes when I do sky watches, I'll walk around with a camera or a video camera on a tripod. I'll just have it there as part of the process. Getting as steady a position to film is most important. If you're standing there with the camera out in front of you, it's going to be really difficult, especially if you zoom in on an object. The more you push your zoom in into an object, the more exaggerated any sort of movement is going to become. And oftentimes the problem with amateur videos of objects, and I'm assuming that everyone assumes a real object, not a hoax one, but the hardest thing to do is to get a good close-up zoom of the object and be steady at the same time. It's almost impossible to get good pushed-in handheld footage. The other thing to always remember is turn off your autofocus. There's so many videos out there where people are fooled into thinking they're you know, videotaping this ball of light, and when in actuality what they're doing is filming the out of focus quality of that particular light, which is much smaller and much more condensed normally, and you know, take off any sort of auto focus function. Also, a lot of cameras nowadays have optical and digital zoom. Never go into digital zoom. Oftentimes what will happen is, let's say you'll have 10 times optical zoom and then 30 times digital zoom. Only go out to the portion where the digital zoom starts. Never go beyond that, because all digital zoom does is blow up the size of the pixels, which isn't going to help the quality of the final image at all. You can always do that in post-production a lot more efficiently, and an analyst can do it a lot more efficiently when he's viewing optical zoom footage. The other thing to remember as well is, it depends obviously on daytime and nighttime, but if you have any sort of control over shutter speed and the various other, you know, possible functions that your particular camera might have, become familiar with them and understand how they work. And obviously you're going to want to be familiar with the capabilities of your particular piece of equipment. So again, those 3 points: always maintain as steady and as braced a camera filming position. Never go beyond the optical analog zoom range of your camera or video camera, and always remember to turn off your autofocus. Those are the 3 main things.
Chris, you're assuming you can even turn the autofocus off.
I'm saying if that function is available, yeah. Most of fairly good quality camcorders, you do have the option of using a manual or automatic focus.
I'm looking at the settings, for example, on a Samsung Galaxy S3, which is the previous version of the flagship phone from Samsung. And there are a lot of automatic settings you can make in terms of exposure. You can control exposure value, white balance. But if you turn off the auto stuff, then you get into things like metering and contrast and stuff like that, which is very important. So you can do a few things if you turn off the special effects. So that's one thing to understand. They also have GPS tag, which I would include on any of these cameras, because what you want to do here is you want to be able to have some kind of hard copy of your location.
Yeah,
where you were when it happened, because that also can separate the wheat from the chaff. If you say you were in Hawaii, but the photo says you were in Podunk, Iowa, and no disrespect to the people in Podunk, Iowa, but at least you can demonstrate, assuming you don't somehow manipulate that tagging, where you actually were when the picture was taken. We're telling you how to create a real UFO photo here, not the fakery, but the real thing, photos or movies. With Gene, Chris, and Goggs, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, assisted by Gogs Mackay, one of our loyal listeners and a longtime student of the paranormal, we're exploring the ramifications of last week's episode and, more to the point, constructive information on how to take your own photos or movies. Now, one other thing you have here, and of course with the smartphone camera, some of the better ones have what they call auto stabilization, so you get less of the shaking effect. What's the impact of that, Chris?
You know, I tend not to use any sort of stabilization. I think having actual physical stabilization is more important, because what you're doing is you're allowing the camera to approximate the information, and you don't want that. In all perfect scenarios, having a tripod or being able to really brace yourself solidly, especially if you're going to zoom in on something. Another thing that I forgot to mention, too, is always try to have at least some portion of the footage pulled all the way back to show objects in the foreground. It's important, and let it sit there for a while so that we have a good sense of exactly what is around the actual witness at the time of the filming, and it gives us perspective and context in regards to the object that's being filmed. You can push in on it, but make sure you always have an establishing shot, as they say in the business. Create an establishing shot at some point during the experience. That's really important, because then that allows the analyst a lot more visual information and gives context to the actual object that's being filmed.
Yeah, I've got a point. Yeah, I was going to bring up that about including some kind of reference point, reference object in the shot, at least at a point, can help tell with distances and size, because if you're only seeing blue sky around an object, say, and from start to finish in the shot, then it's very hard to make any kind of judgment or measurement of size and stuff. And you know what? I had a second good point, and it's completely gone out of my head. I'll come back with it in a second. Oh, no, I've got it. Yeah, it's come back. Great, the brain's working. What it is so many times when I've seen some of the decent documentaries on UFOs, and the narrator will say, such and such a person filmed the object for X amount of time, and then it left at speed. Now, what I'm really interested in is not just seeing a stationary or slow-moving object. What really gets me going is when they start to like have instant acceleration, etc. So I would also say, if you're filming an object, try and continue filming it until it leaves. I want to see how it leaves where it is or how it's moving. That's the thing that really gets... I want to see that really fast maneuvers or maybe right-angled turns, it going straight up in the sky and stuff, you know, to film an object, because let's face it, they're not going to stay there forever. So even if it takes an hour or more, I would implore people to try and capture its exit, because that might be the thing that proves most that it is not mundane. And that was my point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There aren't that many videos, even if we were to take time to sit and trawl through Third Phase of Moon or any other kind of UFO collection site or documentary, there are very few videos that show objects moving in such a way. There are some out there, but I remember there was a couple I had in my head. I remembered I spent hours going through UFO documentaries trying to find these individual ones, and I did find one. I'm sure it's something off the coast of Florida or something, but anyway, this object is stationary out over the ocean for a while, and I might mention that I'm pretty sure it was filmed on like an old VHS camcorder or something, but this thing really does just go off it goes. And you know, to go from stationary to that's the interesting part. Not stationary. Obviously it depends on what is actually happening. You can't pick and choose. Yeah, that's my main thing. That's what interests me, and I would implore people to stay with it and try and capture how it leaves the space it's in.
Right. And it's always good to be pulled back some, because if it leaves and you're totally zoomed in on it, you're going to have a hard time capturing where it went if it goes out of frame. So
yeah.
So always be ready. If that object appears to be getting ready to take off, always pull back. You know, pull back the zoom.
Oh, and another thing, obviously, is if you do see one by chance and you're with someone else, get them to film it too. Maybe move away from you a bit to try and
right.
get two points of view, and also as corroboration. Much harder to fake two individual videos that are filming the same thing than it is one. Which brings up this whole the Temple Mount thing in Jerusalem. Was there, what, three or four videos of that? I don't know what the current thinking on that whole thing is, if it's fake, but it's very well choreographed if it's faked. Chris,
yeah.
Have you got...
Well, I always, until those second and third videos showed up, I just thought the thing was a hoax, and you're correct. More camera angles of, you know, in trying to create an elaborate hoax, obviously it's much more difficult to provide other camera angles. It's not impossible by any stretch, but it is much more difficult and takes a lot more time. Maybe that's why these other clips, it took so long for them to be actually publicized, because they were too busy manufacturing them to actually come out with them right away. The events like the eclipse in 92, I think, or 91 down in Mexico City, where you had, I think, up to 18 different camcorders going on a silver, you know, looking orb in the sky, high in the sky. That's one of the rare examples of people outside actually filming something else and then able to discern something that looks extraordinary, and then get footage of it from all different angles. There's been a couple of good projects, I think, that have been done comparing different camera angles obviously you're going to have some sort of time issues there. It's kind of hard to synchronize cameras unless you're working in concert with a team. But I think they were able in a few instances to actually determine very, very accurately the exact time of the footage that was done by other people unbeknownst to each other. And that sort of triangulation data is really important because you're able to determine size, distance, speed if you have more than one camera angle. Obviously, three is the optimal, and more obviously is even better. So, yeah, that's a good point. Always, if somebody else is there with a cell phone or a camcorder, have them get away from you if they can. The more distance you put between the vantage points, the more accurate you're going to be able to determine data. So those are some real good rules of thumbs for our aspiring sky watchers out there. Hopefully some of Blake's legions of fans out there will be listening to the show and taking notes.
Before Goggs drops in with a point here, just wanted to mention, among the emails we got, I don't really recall getting anything from anyone saying, "Hi, I am a loyal follower of Third Face of Moon, the YouTube channel, and I approve of his work." We had people who said we shouldn't have attacked him. We had people who applauded us for attacking him or took a middle-of-the-point point of view. But nobody said, "I love this site." You wonder about all those fans. Goggs?
Yeah, Chris, you bringing up the eclipse sightings in Mexico City, that brings up something that I've always wanted to mention. And about the question, let's just say there are extraterrestrials, interdimensionals or whatever, but there's non-human intelligence flying these objects, and people often discussing why don't they show themselves, or are they deliberately showing themselves by a certain amount and stuff. You've got to wonder about the deliberateness of the most populous city on Earth during an eclipse, when the most people possible are probably guaranteed going to be looking up in the sky, and that is the time that you get a pretty good sighting of a disc-shaped object. Now, if that wasn't deliberate on the part of whatever that object is, then it's got to be the greatest coincidence ever. To me, that is a kind of a positive for thinking that, yes, at least to a degree, they do want to be seen.
We'll continue with this point of reference. Was it a great coincidence for something like that to happen? With Gene and Chris and Goggs, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters, made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bomb-proof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris and Gogs Mackay, we explore the implications of this YouTube channel by the Cousins Brothers, or the twins who shall not be named. Give them a new name. That would be it, because that other guy who follows the one-armed man, we called him He Who Shall Not Be Named. So maybe we should call this one The Twins Who Shall Not Be Named. Gogs, you want to finish your point before Chris takes over?
I think I'd finished. Chris was going to come in saying that he disagrees.
Yeah, because, you know, first of all, it wasn't a dish-shaped object. It was a round, silvery ball, if I remember correctly, which, you know, if it was dish-shaped, it was on edge. But according to the various vantage points around the city, it did look to be fairly large and fairly round and highly reflective. Now, who's to say that some psychotronic weapons team didn't come up with an idea? Well, hey, let's see how our new, exotic black technology drone will be perceived over the world's most populous city when we know people are going to be looking up. Maybe that could have been floated down from White Sands or from Holloman or from Fort Huachuca or from any number of southern tier U.S. military bases, hovered over the city just to gauge the reaction of the local populace who they knew were going to be looking up that day. So, you know, I think you're kind of making an assumption that was something off planet or extra mundane, when in fact we do have the technology to hover in the sky, to have unmanned drones. I think we've had this technology for quite some time. This is not something I think that's been discussed much in the field. It needs to be discussed more. I think a lot of sightings, for instance, in the San Luis Valley, where I investigated full-time for 10 years, I think a sizable percentage of what people were seeing down there and still see down there could be very mundane but exotic technology that's very terrestrial in nature. So, you know, we have to be careful not to jump towards a high strange off-planet or extra-dimensional meta-ultra, you know, with extraterrestrial definition. We need to factor out all mundane explanations before we jump off-planet.
Taking some kind of corpse or fossil of a small fetus and saying, hey, folks, this is an alien body. as some people do.
That's a good segue.
Yeah.
You guys have a chance to look at this documentary that was posted online from Stephen Greer about Sirius, I guess they call it, to name the star system?
Gogs, you could go first. I'm not, because I'm going to see it next week when I go and crew up for the citizens' hearing on disclosure at the National Press Club in D.C. We're going to have some sort of secondary premiere there of the film. So I don't want to give Stephen Greer even $10 as far as I'm concerned, though.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't pay for it. I noticed in the forums that somebody has watched it. I can't really remember enough of what they said, but I certainly, if a copy is made available on YouTube to watch for free, I'll absolutely watch it. And actually, this is very pertinent. Today, there's probably the second biggest selling daily in the UK, a tabloid. That is, we have the Sun, but then the next one is called The Star, and about page 3 or something like that, there is an article about that little humanoid skeleton body thing that Dr. Greer is going on about. And I took a photo with my Samsung Galaxy of this article just because you could so tell that the person writing the article didn't have the first clue who Stephen Greer is, because the way he's written about it's just this... Well, they think he's just some like a medical doctor from California or something. It doesn't mention anything about his UFO or disclosure background, anything like that. And almost the tone of it is if, yeah, we should really listen to this guy because he's a doctor. That's the way I read it. But you got to wonder about if Greer's, inverted commas, people have been sending out the stories to the news agencies and stuff, because it's quite funny that this documentary is just coming out and this article's in The Star in the UK, but they obviously didn't have a clue about Greer's history or anything, because it was very neutral and it just mentioned him, you know, such and such a doctor thinks this. But in the article, anyway, it's saying that it's now been, by him anyway, agreed that it is like a freak human skeleton, and he's saying that there's, you know, from scans or whatever, they're seeing the heart, liver, all the little organs. Now, I've heard of very small people, and the thing's got 9 ribs or something, but, so I don't know if all this info was just coming from Greer's camp or not, but the timing is perfect. But back to the documentary, I'll absolutely watch it just because it's like watching a car crash. It's hard not to see what Greer will do next.
Hey, but don't you think it's one of the little people that got caught in the desert without any grog?
You better ask your ancestors, then, Chris, or your distant relations in the Emerald Isle.
Yeah, I think they were on vacation in the Atacama, and they got waylaid.
Top of the morning.
I think one of the problems here is when we talk about something like that, and it's gotten some publicity, if we spend too much time giving Stephen Greer unneeded publicity...
Or Blake Cousins.
And Blake Cousins is getting a lot more than he deserves. But when we talk about someone like a Stephen Greer, we dealt with him several years ago in the Paracast. And he did not acquit himself well when he did our show. And he's still charging people thousands of dollars to go on his little trips to see UFOs. And he's making these crazy claims. Well, someone offered him $2 billion to close down his C-SETI organization. They've got this documentary, which has gotten really bad reviews, claiming that they've got this little skeleton or whatever of an alien being, which everybody says is actually old news. It's something that they had discovered and analyzed years ago. If you read the stories, you see. But he kind of gloms on to this stuff. And you wonder, when you draw attention to people like that and discuss them endlessly for hours, whether or not it's just going to cause people to want to go to the shows or to the documentary. So right now, people will be looking on YouTube for the Sirius documentary from Stephen Greer. Other people will be going to look at the channel run by the twins who shall not be named. For the same reason that, you know, either they want to see a train wreck or see what the fuss is all about.
I think it should be Stephen O. Greer. I think he's got a wee bit of the leprechaun in him.
I think he's got a bit of the David Koresh in him. For listeners who don't know, that's the Branch Davidian leader guy from the Waco, Texas shambles.
I hope not.
I could tell you stories. I've known Stephen for 20 years now.
Tell us a few stories.
20 years. Well, my favorite was one of the first times that I ever actually, it was the first time that I ever actually was asked by him to do anything, basically. And it was about the third or fourth time he had come to Crestone, Colorado, and this would have been 94, 95. And I was supposed to give a brief, 20-minute, half-hour talk to these really super rich, highfalutin socialites and Lawrence Rockefeller's right-hand man, Bootsy Galbraith, Sandy Wright, who funded the best available evidence, Rockefeller funded the best available evidence document that Greer then appropriated and released prematurely. But he had all these really highfalutin people there, and he wanted me to give them some information about the history and whatnot about the San Luis Valley where they were gathered. And unfortunately, being a volunteer fireman, we had a really bad grass fire that morning. I had to go out and fight this fire and got caught in the fire and got some pretty bad smoke inhalation and was about a half hour late for my talk. And when I came in, I just reeked of of grass fire. And my eyes were all red, and I was kind of choking and coughing, and I was in no mood. And at this point, I'd pretty much figured out Greer's David Koresh tendencies. And so kind of a little bit undiplomatically and a little bit out of character, I would add, I got up there and gave my little presentation. And then, Greer tried to appropriate it, as he has a habit of doing. And I said, the last thing I want to mention to everybody, and this is really important, and that is, Stephen, your message is way more important than you are. Oh, but I said, no, Stephen, you didn't hear me. And I said it three times in front of all these people.
And we're going to have to say this a couple of times, too. Yes, here we are, catching up. We're talking shop. One of those special episodes. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us, check us out on Twitter, where we are known as The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Facebook. Or go to forum.theparacast.com. We got to do our break with Gogs and Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.